Hello and welcome to the podcast today. It is the 10th day of March and I'm glad to be here with you. Just kind of stepping out into different things to talk about, like the demonstration of the power of God, miracles, signs, and wonders, because we're seeing an increase of this in the group that I am in. I believe we're going to be seeing an increase in this in the church even more and more. It's just an exciting time to be a part of the church. And I tell you what, it is so refreshing to be with a group of people where this is something that is like brand new for them. So excited about the way that God is moving and the way that he's allowing us to demonstrate his love and his power and, you know, to reveal this presence of the Holy Spirit to people as we pray for them. So I just want to give Jesus praise and honor for what he's doing. Again, it's just so exciting to see people who are hungry for this and so excited about it. And I pray that as you listen today, and I believe, you know, even as you listen, you're going to catch the wind and the fire of this and become hungry for this yourself. Because it's Jesus's desire for his church to fully display the whole counsel of the Word of God, not just part of it, but all the gifts and all the power of the Holy Spirit. He paid for with his blood. He bought it for us to be able to walk in these things. So this is kind of the direction that we are going in today. Just start out with a few of the verses that talk about Jesus. This is found in Acts 2:22. When Peter got up to preach on the day of Pentecost, he said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know." When Jesus preached the kingdom of God, it was accompanied with healings, signs, miracles, and wonders. And it was a testimony that God's power was with him, that God's favor was upon him. It showed that Jesus was of God. And guess what? It's also for the church. I mean, it confirms ministry. Some people agree with that. Some of them don't. But I do believe that we see a testimony of the Lord whenever a ministry is operating in healings, signs, and wonders. So Holy Spirit is present in those ministries. Jesus said in Mark 16, beginning with verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Verse 17, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." And then often you have a footnote in your Bible that says these verses were not in the original manuscript. And all I can say is, they're there now. And you know what? These things are still true in the church. We just see it over and over again, how God has performed each one of these things through his people. It says in Acts 2, verse 38, you know, it's repent and be baptized, you know, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Acts 2:39, what does it say? "The promise is for you and for your children and for those who are afar off and as many as the Lord our God will call." So the Holy Spirit and all that he is, he's never changed. He's never been sectioned off, like part of the Holy Spirit for this generation and another lesser part for us. All of the Holy Spirit is for everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That includes me and you. So all of these things are true for the church. I'm talking about discipling others in these things. You know, Jesus modeled this for his disciples, and then he sent them out saying in Matthew 10:8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And he sent the 12 out in twos, and they came back with all these testimonies of how God had performed healings through their prayers and through their ministry. And then the disciples got the big head. You know, they started arguing about who will be the greatest. And Lord, we saw someone else doing it, and they're not with us, and it's just for us, right? No. And then it's like, God, let's judge that city and call down fire from heaven. So it's like, okay, boys, time to sit down. You know, Jesus sat down the 12. And he says, okay, watch this. Now I'm going to send out 70 others with this same instruction. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. And the 70 came back, and they had pressed through into casting out devils. And they said, even the demons were subject to us in your name. And Jesus, he says, I saw lightning fall from heaven. He says, don't rejoice that they were subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And this is the one time in scripture where it says Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. When the 70 that he sent out were doing the signs, miracles, and wonders, it made Jesus rejoice in the spirit. So he rejoices today too, whenever his church operates in these things that he paid for us. In Matthew chapter 28, we know the Great Commission, because Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, you know. And then he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all the things that I commanded you. Okay, so he's saying, disciples, all these things that I've taught you to do, I want you to go teach others to do them too. You know, not only the words that Jesus spoke to instruct us in our life, but also the things that Jesus did, that he modeled for the disciples to walk in. He says, okay, now go teach others to do them too. It was meant for all of us. We see this in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 29 through 30, because they got in trouble for healing a lame man. Peter and John did. And they were severely threatened. And they went back to their group to pray. And this is what they said. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So the very thing that got them thrown into jail and in trouble, they prayed that God would increase. And I notice that it says, not asking God that we may do signs and wonders, but it says that they may do signs. So it's almost like Peter and John were saying, okay, let's just have more people do it then. You know, if the two of us are going to get in trouble, let's just have all of God's people, you know, work in these signs, miracles, and wonders. This verse of scripture is actually one that I prayed over 2021, is for the increase in signs, miracles, and wonders and healings. And so God is doing that. Give him glory and praise for that, all right? Now, I believe the motive that the Lord gave me as I prayed that at the beginning of 2021 was so that people would believe. You know, the pure motive that he wants, that we would ever desire or want this, is so that Jesus and so that his name can be shown, and that his love and his kindness and his power can be revealed to people, so that they can come to faith and believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. See how we're doing on time here. We're doing good. Let's go on and move on a little further. Sometimes you notice I have these pauses. And I'm still trying to figure out if I should sing in the pauses or just kind of let them rest in the silence. My notes have notes sometimes. There's supposed to be a demonstration of power that accompanies the gospel or that accompanies our ministry. My son was here today, and we got into a conversation. It was my son, my husband, and I. And he was talking about the transgender males that have infiltrated women's sports. And he said, they just end up manhandling each other, you know. And this thought came into my mind about Noah in Genesis chapter 6. And I spoke up and I said, doesn't that make you understand what God was experiencing when he destroyed the earth with a flood? Because it says in Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy the man I've created from the face of the earth, man and beast. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the point that I was making was, you know, back then, in the days of the flood, there was no redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. There was no Holy Spirit on the earth. And if all of mankind was so corrupt that there was no way to redeem them, and how the only thing that God could do was clean the slate and start fresh, because he was going to get a Messiah, he was going to get a Savior into the world, and it was going to be through Noah's lineage. But I mean, you can understand then whenever you see the transgender and the way that our culture has sunken into sin, what is the hope of redemption? Well, it's Jesus. Even for the transgender, even for those who have just gone so low into the filth and the blackness of sin. Man. I have to say this, you know, the church has done a wonderful job teaching, preaching, and instruction. But there's a lot of people that aren't listening to us. Okay. What is gonna bring them to redemption? And I believe it's gonna be the signs, the miracles, and the wonders that God is releasing in the church. Okay. I believe it is going to take a demonstration of power to where some of these people experience the healing, they experience the deliverance, they experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, that words alone cannot draw them in. It's going to be the supernatural that does. And that's where I want to pick up again in some of the things that Paul said and wrote, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. He said, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. He said it again in 1 Corinthians 2, beginning with verse 4. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So there's supposed to be a demonstration of power that accompanies our gospel message. And I believe that's what's going to draw a lot of people into faith. It's going to, you know, it's going to lead them to salvation through Jesus Christ. I want to point out that he also wrote in 1 Corinthians 3 times that we are to desire the spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Pursue love and desire the spiritual, but especially that you may prophesy. And again, therefore, brothers and sisters, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. So these supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit are so needed right now for reaching the lost. And I believe we as the church, we need to, you know, cry out for these things. We need to ask God for these things. We need to pursue them and desire to grow in these so that we can display the demonstration of power of the Holy Spirit. As I look at the way that Jesus did his miracles and his signs, he commanded what he wanted to happen. He spoke to the situation and told it what to do. For example, the little girl that needed raised from the dead. Little girl, I say to you, arise. The man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. And as he did, it was healed. To the 10 lepers, go show yourselves to the priests. So see, he was constantly commanding what he wanted to happen in their bodies. To the man who was paralyzed, take up your mat, rise up and walk. And they did. And so it's easy to look at that and say, well, he was God. That was the Son of God. He could command that and speak those things. But what did Peter and John say to the man who was lame? In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so the authority is in the command. And I find this even when Jesus said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. The authority to do those things is in the command. And when we speak those things in Jesus's name, we're not commanding God to do it. We're commanding that broken situation to submit to the authority of Jesus's name. And he gives us permission. Okay? He gives us permission to use his name and the authority. Mark 11, he said, for truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's the words of Jesus. So, you know, maybe if you have a hunger, and I hope you do, for signs, miracles, and wonders, healings, deliverances, all these things, I pray that you will pursue it. I pray that you will pray the Acts 4 prayer that Peter prayed over yourself, over your church, where it says, and now, Lord, look on their threats, grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. We're seeing an increase in these things. I see an increase in them as I study how Jesus did it and the early church, and then I do it like Jesus did. It's effective, okay? So maybe he just modeled that for us, you know, so that we would know how to teach others to do the things that he did, okay? So I pray that you are fired up. I pray that you become hungry for these things that Jesus paid for us, the church, to walk in, and that we see more signs and wonders. I'll wrap it up with this. Randy Clark, you know, who teaches so well in the healing gifts and ministry, he said, we'll see more healings the more that we pray for these things, okay? And that means that you and I need to exercise our faith, grow our faith to walk in these things for the glory and the honor in the name of Jesus Christ. And so that people may come to believe in him. Until next time, God bless.